Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to Get the Edge, our 7-day program that's going to start you into the process of transforming your body, your finances, your relationships, and your life. This program has really come out of my own pursuit of excellence. You know, in my life, I'm always looking for those little edges, those distinctions, those ideas, those strategies that once you understand them, they give you the edge. They give you the advantage in life. I don't mean the advantage against somebody else. I mean, it gives the advantage to anticipate what you need to do to achieve what you really want from your life. So the areas of life that matter the most to us, our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our relationships, our finances, our spirit, those are the areas that I spent the last 23 years of my life studying the best of the best. And so this program is designed to give you some of the best distinctions, strategies, tools, and action plans that you can take immediately to improve each of these areas of your life. And I think you're going to find that some of the tools, for example, on how to create explosive growth in your muscles, or how to create more energy, or how to really take your relationship to the next level of passion, or how to find the relationship you want, and how to make certain once and for all that financial abundance is yours. These strategies, I think you're going to find, are going to be invaluable to your life. And you may want to listen to these tapes again and again. But the ideal is to listen to one session a day, if you can. Then when you're done, we have a great video for you that will show you what's called 10 Minutes to Explosive Muscle Growth. It's my interview with Pete Sisko and John Little, who are the two researchers that did this study with weightlifters. But I'll tell you what else they did. They worked with a group of people from 35 to 60. A lot of these people were not bodybuilders. They were golfers who saw an explosive change in how far they hit the golf ball on their drives, but also experienced all these wonderful changes in their personal lives. And we interviewed some of those people on the tape, so you'll get a chance to appreciate the kinds of changes that are possible for you as well. Now, in this first tape, I want to start talking to you about something that's missing. Yeah, missing. What's missing from your life? You say, wait a second, nothing's missing from my life. I live in America, for God's sakes. We're on a roll. The country is in total success. We have economic success. Technology is transforming us. We have the lowest inflation ever. Everybody's got a job. The lowest unemployment that's ever existed. Low interest rates. I mean, look what's happening. We're living in the greatest time to be alive. You read the other day about a man who loses his hand and they just sew it right back on. Or someone else who lost both of their arms and now with artificial hands, using a chip in his brain, the man played a song on a piano. Well, you're right. We're living in the most incredible time to be alive. There's never been a time like this. There's never been as much opportunity to live and to enjoy your life. But most people aren't. I mean, yeah, sure, there's opportunity out there. Take a look around. I mean, you name it, we got it. Most of us today are living a life that the greatest pharaohs and kings would have worshipped or had begged for. I'm talking about those of us who have challenges in our lives. People that are really struggling are living better than the greatest kings and pharaohs of ancient times. I mean, they didn't have the privilege to be able to say, you know what, I'd like to fly to another part of the earth within a few hours. I mean, if someone had come to them, some magician, and said, we can get you so you can fly, they wouldn't have said, how many hours can I make it to Australia? Just flying, they'd say, here's a king's ransom, go for it. I mean, come on, think about it. They didn't have someone spending $200 million to make a movie to entertain them for a mere 2 hours. I mean, we got a whole industry that does that. That's the world you and I live in. It's unbelievable the times we're living in. We're living in the most incredible time a human being could be alive. But that's no guarantee that you're going to have the most incredible life. Are we all feeling like we have the edge, that our lives have extraordinary quality and advantage, that everything is wonderful? Or are we stressed out of our minds? As a society, if you live in America anyway, we're 5% of the world's population, and we represent now 80% of the world's cocaine usage. You know, kids today are 10 pounds heavier on average than they were 10 years ago. We haven't changed as a species in 10 years. We've changed as a culture. Right? You look around, the average American is 32% heavier today than they were 10 years ago. What is happening is we are drugging ourselves into submission because we are working so hard to enjoy our abundance, to keep up with the Joneses, to have the edge or advantage, that we've forgotten what the real edge is, an extraordinary psychology. See, technology doesn't give us the edge in life. We all heard that, boy, you know, sooner or later, technology is going to make it so you have a lot more time. How's that work for you so far? I don't know about you, but with email and with Palm Pilots and beepers and cell phones, I haven't found a great deal more time in my life. fact, I seem to have less. I have to take control of it if I want the real advantage. The advantage is understanding what you want from your life and living life on your terms. We got to decide in these next 7 days what would give you the greatest quality of life. Not Donald Trump, not your brother-in-law, not what you've read on the internet. What do you want for your life? What's going to give you real fulfillment? Not success on somebody else's terms, because success without fulfillment is failure. So my goal in these next 7 days is to get you to develop a couple of simple habits, to make a few simple decisions, to take a couple of actions that'll begin to create a momentum for your life that will take you to the point where you will stand tall and say, I love my life. This is what I've always dreamed about. I am not willing to settle for less than I can be or share or create or give in my lifetime. And I want to take advantage of this incredible time to be alive, and I want to enjoy it to its fullest, and I want to make sure I contribute in a unique way. And 500 channels of television with nothing on but infomercials, and 8 million different forms of computers and music and email and instant messages and beepers and cell phones and remote access to the internet, none of that's going to transform your life. Your life is going to change if you do nothing, because life is changing so rapidly around you. Your body's going to change whether you want it to or not as time goes by. Your relationships are going to change. People are going to die. People are going to pass on. People are going to change their beliefs and values. Everything in your life is going to change. You don't have to work at change. Change is automatic. Progress is not. To get the edge, you have to decide that you're going to make progress in your life. You're going to have to decide that you're not going to be one of those people just drawn by the river, and you also can't get off the river and just sit on the side, because life keeps moving. You got to step in the river, and you got to direct your course by knowing what you want for your life. Now, why don't most people do this? Because most of us are so stressed, we never take time for the thing that's really missing, time for ourselves. I mean, what's really missing is we don't ever contribute to ourselves. We're so busy taking care of our children and worrying about our spouses and our friends and making sure at work we're accomplishing the tasks on time. And the last person that gets taken care of is us. And we live in a society that's supposed to be so selfish, so many people talk about. But the truth of the matter is most of us are working so hard to make sure everybody else is happy that we aren't happy within ourselves. And so I want to talk to you about what's missing. Time for you. I mean, when do we really stop and feel? I mean, really feel, remember who we are and what we're about and what we want from our lives. Most of us never find that time. And so what happens to most of us is since we're constantly in the action of doing, you know, the old phrase, we're not human doings, we're human beings. It's kind of corny, but it's true. We don't take the time to be. And so what occurs is, out of the stress of doing, constantly competing, trying to make sure we achieve and we contribute and take care of the family and we make sure everything happen, most of us, to survive, look for a way to stop and distract ourselves. And so we drug ourselves. And the drug isn't always regular drugs. We don't call it drugs. We call it food. Because if you eat enough of that stuff and load up, guess what happens? All of a sudden, you relax. You know, especially if you overeat, all that blood rushes into your stomach, you know, and you start to breathe again. Did you ever notice when you're going, go like this, you're not breathing very much? That creates just a bit of stress. And some people, that's not enough. They get CNN, and then they're working on the internet simultaneously, and they're getting a conversation on the other side because they figure if they can keep enough things going in their head, they can forget about all the stuff that's stressing them. You know, they don't even care about what's on the television. They don't really care about what they're surfing on the net. They just need an escape. But, you know, you'll never escape your way to fulfillment. You'll never escape your way to joy. You'll never escape your way to an extraordinary life. The only way you get that is by deciding what that means to you. What is that extraordinary life? What is that fulfillment? What is it you want? And that's got to be a process that is consistent, not something you do once in a while when you got a birthday with a zero on the end. Not something that you do, you know, at New Year's where you sit down and go, all right, you know, I better look at my life, see how I'm doing. All right, let's make some resolutions that I know I'm going to break within the week. And then I'll check in on them maybe a year from now, next New Year's, and see how I'm doing. That's called recipe for failure. Do you think most people in life are fulfilled? Or are most people in life stressed? Now, let me tell you, stress is a code word for fear. See, when somebody says they're stressed, that's because they don't want to say, I'm fearful. You go, no, I'm just stressed. I have all these things to do. Well, why are you stressed about it? Well, if I don't get them done, if you don't get them done, what? Well, then everybody will be upset. Well, what if they are a little upset? Well, then I'll have failed. Well, if you fail, what does that mean? Well, you keep on digging. If they fail, they feel like if they fail, then they're worthless. If they're worthless, they won't be loved. You know, stress comes from making things more important than they really are. And most people in life are spending all their time majoring in minor things. They're putting all their focus, all their energy, all their attention on responding to the reactions of the moment, rather than stopping in that timeless place of who you are and saying, gosh, what is it that I really want today? What do I want to create? Because I got to tell you something. everything in the outside world, everything around you that you like or dislike, that's stressing you or that you're thrilled about, was first created on the inside. Everything that you're experiencing in your life, your relationship, the way your kids are, your job, your opportunities, it all started with decisions you made in your head. Decisions about what to focus on, decisions about what things were meaning, whether you should be upset about it, or whether you should learn from it, whether this is a challenge, an opportunity, or a crisis. And the decision about what you're going to do, these decisions are shaping your life. You got to understand, getting the edge simply means this: 80% of success in anything in life is psychology. The ability to manage your mindset, your ability to find the opportunity in any situation. This isn't stupid positive thinking where you just sit around and, you know, go to your garden and say, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds. I don't believe in that kind of positive thinking. It's garbage. There's weeds there and you got to pull them out. But you got to have enough intelligence, enough psychology to say, I'm not going to see it worse than it is. Because, you know, people say, I'm skeptical, I'm pessimistic. Oh, garbage, you're fearful. If you say you're skeptical or you're pessimistic, what you're really saying is, I'm afraid of being disappointed. I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to look naive. So I don't want to be hurt again. But I got news for you. If you're going to have an extraordinary quality of life, if you're going to get the edge in life where the passion and the juice and the joy and the fulfillment and the happiness and the love and the family is, where the Quan is, like Jerry Maguire talked about, right? Where you got it all. You got the love, the respect, the connection, the contribution, the money, the fun, the fame, the whatever. Whatever your definition of the ultimate level of life, that edge comes when you master your mind and your emotions. But you know what? 20% of your success is mechanics, and they do play a role. And sometimes our mechanics are getting in the way of our psychology. Sometimes we've structured our life where there's no time to think or be. So you say, okay, if you rant and rave, what am I supposed to do? All right, you start to kind of say, I should take some time for myself. Where am I going to find that? I got to get up. I got to take the kids to school. I got to make it to work. I get it all done. I come back home. I got to pick them up. We got to take them to dance lessons, to soccer. Well, you know, then I got to work on my homework. Then I got to answer all my emails. When am I going to do this stuff? Stop. We all get what we have to have. That's it. The most basic principle, getting the edge, is for you to understand and for me to remember, for all of us to remember, we all get our musts, we don't get our shoulds. You know, everybody's got a list of shoulds. I should take time to work out. You know, I should take time for myself. I should actually go on a diet. I should make more calls. I should just allow myself to listen to some music and meditate a little bit. I should do my taxes. But most people do any of this stuff. They just, what I call, should all over themselves. You don't want to should all over yourself. Here's what's true. What you must do, what you believe is a must, happens. Right now, you're earning what you must earn and not a dime more. Not what you want to, don't get me wrong. And listen, I know I sound like I'm ranting. That's because I'm a nut. But by being a nut, I've achieved a lot. I've achieved a lot of things in my dreams and goals that have happened because what I am is I'm unreasonable in my expectations. So if I sound unreasonable, it's not to be disrespectful and it's not just a rant. It's because I know I've spent the last 23 years of my life now with more than 2.5 million people from every walk of life, from presidents of countries to presidents of companies to parents to children, best sports people in the world. I've had the chance to find the difference in people, and the difference is in their unreasonable psychology. That unreasonableness has gotten them to say, this is a must and I will settle for nothing less. And those individuals, whether it's a woman like Rosa Parks on a bus who says, no, I will not move to the back of the bus. That was completely unreasonable. She had no way to back it up and she changed the world. Or a little lady, tiny woman with no background, no education, no money, who decides she's going to change the world, Mother Teresa. Person who, by the power of her will, her psychology, her unreasonableness, by making it a must to help people that no one would help, by making that her must, she changed the world. When she died, every major leader in the world flew. 100,000 people lined the streets to watch a woman who supposedly had no resources. Unreasonable men and women shape the world. If you want to get the edge, you got to get unreasonable. The way you get unreasonable is you turn your shoulds into musts. And I'm here to tell you, you're earning what you must earn. You have the time you must have. You know, if you say to me, oh, you know, I really want a relationship, but I'm not in one, then your relationship's a should and not a must. What's really a must is you don't want to be hurt. It's a must not to be hurt. And if it's a must not to be hurt, you're not going to be in a relationship. Because if you're going to be in a relationship, there's going to be hurts. That's part of the nature of relationship. But there's going to be more joy than you could ever imagine too. Right? The advantage. You want to get the edge? Get over your fear and tell yourself the truth. Get honest. Get honest with yourself and make these things a must. And you got to schedule them, which is what we're going to talk about in this first tape. We got to take a specific time each day where you break away from the hypnosis of the culture that tells you to settle for less than you can be, that tells you not to get your hopes up, that tells you you should protect yourself, that tells you that basically your life cannot be what you dreamed about as a child. And I'm here to tell you that as long as you buy into the culture, you'll be like the majority of the population who have no advantage and have to settle for a life that really is what I call no man's land, a life where they're not really happy, but they're not unhappy enough to do anything about it, a life where there is no passion and no real drive, just that sinking feeling that your life does not have a real meaning or a real purpose, but you got to continue. That's a place no one wants to live, and that's unfortunately where the majority of people live. Do you agree with me on this or disagree? If you disagree, I'm respectful of that. But if you want more, and if you believe that that's possible, and you're the kind of person that won't settle, then this is the first session in you reclaiming your power. It's the first session in you putting your foot down and saying, I will not be denied. It's the first session in you saying, my body, my mind, my emotions, my relationships, my finances, my career, they're not going to be perfect, but they're going to be extraordinary. And it won't be overnight. But what will change overnight is my expectations of myself. Not my expectations all suddenly be perfect without any work. This is not a little cajoling session to say, I'm going to pump myself up. I'm going to be Stuart Smalley and say, I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. I'm kind enough. And by golly, people like me. No, some people don't like you. Some people are going to fight to try and keep you from achieving. Some people are going to tell you you're wasting your time. And some people are going to try and trip you up with people that you love. And it's not because they don't love you or they're trying to hurt you. It's they don't want to be left behind. Or they don't want, you know, your success to make them feel inferior, like you're achieving, or even if you're not succeeding, even if you're striving and they're not, there's contrast in that. That's part of life. You don't have to think anything else is to be dumb, and you're not dumb, or you would have turned this tape off a long time ago. So give this thing to somebody I don't like. This guy's crazy. You know, I am a little crazy, but you got to be a little crazy. You got to be a little different. You got to be a little weird in your expectations of the rest of society, because if you agree with everybody else, you know you're in trouble. I mean, somebody told me a long time ago, find out where the masses are going. Go the opposite direction. Your chances are better. You know, you don't want to be part of the hypnosis of a culture that settles. Not if you want the advantage in life. Not if you want the edge. And again, the edge is living life on your terms. It doesn't mean the edge over something or someone else. It means living at the level of life where life is fully worth living, where that meaning is there. So how do we do this? What do we need to do today to start this process? Well, the first thing we've got to do is understand what creates that extraordinary life. And we've already identified it. An extraordinary life does not come from more money, because lots of people have lots of money and they're still miserable. They're unhappy. They're unhealthy. Their relationships are weak. And there are people who have no money whatsoever who are totally happy and fulfilled. You know, it's not coming from having a great relationship. That doesn't give you extraordinary quality of life. How many people you know have an incredible person who loves them totally, but they don't feel loved? Or they feel loved by them, but they still feel like their life is meaningless or worthless because they haven't achieved enough. They haven't done enough. Their body's not strong enough. Their kids haven't accomplished enough. See, it's not going to come from money. It's not going to come from relationship. It's not going to come from your job. It's not going to come from getting a raise. It's not going to come from anything. But you finally stopping and understanding that the quality of your life is in direct proportion to the quality of the emotions you're in on a daily basis. If you live in frustration, if you live in resentment, if you live in anger, if you live in rejection, if you live in self-pity, if you live in those emotional states, the quality of your life, no matter what happens, no matter how much money you get, no matter how many people think they love you, how much you achieve, will be worthless. If you live in a space of gratitude, if you cultivate the emotion of passion, if you cultivate the emotion of excitement, of love, of compassion, of drive, of hunger, of ambition, of appreciation, of grace, of humility. In those states, it won't matter what happens in your job. It won't matter what challenges come, because they're going to come. I mean, it's only a matter of time. You'll have another one soon. We all got problems. Problems are a sign of life. And the way we deal with them determines the quality of our life. And the way we deal with them is, where do you spend your time emotionally? Where are you? That idea of an extraordinary life only comes from an extraordinary psychology, which is a mindset that allows you to find an empowering meaning in whatever life gives you. I mean, I meet people all the time that are so upset over the littlest things. And you meet somebody who's terminally ill and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. You find out later on from somebody else. They're so happy. They're so excited. And you talk to them and say, how do you do this? And they say, listen, to me, it's not how long I live. It's how I live. You know, I'm here to live fully while I'm here, while I'm alive. I'm going to get upset about little stuff like that. I have a friend that was shot down in Vietnam, was locked up for 7 years. Can you imagine being in a tiny cell, 6 feet long, about 4 feet wide, chained to the floor, and physically beat almost every day for 7 years? Can you imagine what that would do to your psyche? Well, what most people do is they kill themselves, commit suicide in the camp, or they go crazy. But my friend didn't. He came out stronger mentally, emotionally, and physically than anybody you can imagine. To this day, nothing bugs him. He says, listen, I think that was the greatest 7 years of my life. I got closer to God than I'd ever been before in my life. I got in the best shape of my life. They only gave me bread and water. But I did 200 push-ups a day, and I did 300 sit-ups, and I had my mindset so strong. I relived every day of my life that I'd lived previously, and I learned from every day of my life again. I remember poems that I thought were worthless, and I cherished them. I learned to knock on the walls with tap code and talk to other people and communicate and value communication with other human beings so deeply that now I am so joyous and so free. It was the greatest 7 years of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And other people are upset because they forgot to put the special sauce on their super taco. I mean, come on. Get a life. What you got to do is you got to make sure that you understand this extraordinary psychology is the goal. So how do we get it? You understand that it's not about your ability. Everyone has the ability to have an extraordinary psychology. I don't care if people told your whole life you're worthless, you're terrible, you're this, you're that. I hear people all the time talk about, I have no self-esteem because when I was a child, people always told me I was worthless. Well, guess what? They told you all kinds of stuff. You didn't listen to most of the stuff your parents say. Why'd you remember that stuff? I mean, get real. You're selectively remembering. Plus, there are all kinds of people that are told like they're a piece of crap their whole life, and they've turned out quite well. How do you explain that? There are also people who have been told their whole life, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're the best, and they're in and out of rehab all the time. Listen, the only thing you got to give up to get what you want is your story about why you can't have it. And everybody's got a story, and it's usually about the past. The past does not equal the future unless you live there. You took a drive into the future using a rearview mirror, you're going to crash. I don't care how smart you are. So what we got to do is decide right now, have an extraordinary psychology. And here's how you do it right now. You already have it at times. You're not frustrated all the time, and you're not happy every moment. We all, as human beings, are variable. Variable means we change, we bounce back and forth, because what's happening is we're letting things just flow, like going with the flow, instead of actually taking control of our destiny. Now, here's how you do that. You understand that what happens in life is not based on your ability. It's based on the state that your mind and body is in at that time. Now, this is lesson one in any of my trainings. If you listen to any program I have, I always talk about state because this is the fundamental. And if you know this, because you've listened to my other programs, don't say, I know this, unless you are doing it every single day. I've heard people say in the past, I used to say this, like, oh, I'd read a book, and I go, oh, I've already heard this story, I already know this stuff. And I wasn't doing it. If you're not doing it, you don't know it. You may understand it, but you don't know it. So we've got to make sure every day we do this. Now, here's what I mean by this, to be clear. Have you ever done something in your life where after you did it, you went, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. That was so stupid. I know I've done that so many times. I don't want to admit it, but I have. Haven't you really, honestly? Where you just like, afterwards, you're like, that is so dumb. And you know it's not you, but it's like you did it. But have you also had times in your life where you did something, or after you did it, you couldn't help but smile. You tried not to, but you couldn't help to smile. You went, yep, that was me. The point is, the truth of the matter is, we all have times when we have that role. We all have times when we just can't find a way to have a paper bag. I mean, you ever had that time where you can't remember how to spell a difficult word like the, you know, or you can't remember your own home telephone number or address? Well, you know the answer. You're just in what I call a stupid state. And when you go in those states, things don't work. There's other times you go in the right state and it flows. Now, the question is this then. Do we sit around and pray to God that he gives us a good state so we can have an extraordinary psychology and an extraordinary life and finally have the edge? No. That was my head bumping the microphone, by the way. So if I start reaching through your headphones into your ear and grabbing you by the throat, it just means I'm passionate and I'm trying to help you to move forward to the next level. Now, here's what we do to get the state, to get the edge. There are two things that control your state moment to moment. Number one is the way you use your physical body, or in technical jargon, it's called your physiology. And I'm going to use that word because just using your physical body isn't quite strong enough. Physiology means the way you move, the way you breathe, the way you exercise, the facial expressions you use, the amount of muscular tension in your body or relaxation. This instantaneously affects the way we think, the way we feel, the way we respond. It affects our psychology. Here's what you need to understand. Physiology equals psychology. And I'll give you a simple example. If a person's in an emotional state, remember, psychology is just emotion, right? It's a way of the feelings we're in that affect the meanings we come up with in our lives. Whether we come up with a meaning that says it's over and we need to commit suicide and give up, or we think the meaning is it's time to step up and turn things around. That's a psychology. That's an emotion. That's a way of thinking. That's a way of coming up with meaning. Well, the psychology we're in is driven by the physiology we're in. If you're thinking of a depressed person as an example, do they have a specific physiology, a way of standing, a certain posture? You bet they do. I mean, think about it. I said there's a person over here depressed behind curtain number one. Describe their body for me. What's their body like? You know, say it before I say it. Slumped. Where are their shoulders? Come on, say it out loud. You know, where are them? Down. Where's their head? Down. Where are their eyes? Down. What do you think we get this term about being down all the time? What's their breathing like, full or shallow? You know it's shallow. Where's the facial expression? Up and tight or slack? You know it's slack. That's why we use the word slacker, right? This term comes from somebody who walks around in this lousy state. Now, in that lousy state, your brain's not going to jump out and go, let's go get him. Let's create a dynamic, powerful life. Yes, I can turn my relationship around. Yes, I can make my boss happy. Yes, I can make this happen. Yes, there's time for me in this stressful day. No, your brain's going to go, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What's the guy to do? I mean, it's like, you know, let me tell you what else is going on in my life. And in that tone of voice, which is also a physiology, guess what? There's no chance of finding the answer. It's not that you don't have the answer. It's that think of your body as being like a tuner to all the intelligence that exists in the universe. If I would have told you 100 years ago that you could take a little box and you could push a button and you could instantaneously on that box see people from all over the world and push another button, you could see someone else, you could hear them, be able to experience what they're experiencing. It said I was crazy. And if I told you you were going to do this because it was going to tap into invisible waves that were surrounding the earth, that someone was projecting out, you would have definitely locked me up. But today, you know, television is about the most basic tool we have, right? And people just take that for granted. We want things that are much more interactive than television. We want invisible waves to connect us so that we can interact instantaneously with that person. And we've developed that technology. The point of the matter is the way you change from a comedy to an adventure, to a tragedy, to a romance is by changing channels. And the way you change channels is you make a physical change in that television box. Well, in your body, you can change channels from being depressed to being excited literally in a matter of minutes. And I'm not saying this off the cuff or as some positive thinking motivational speaker. That's not what I'm about. All the psychological studies that have been done that test changing physiology as the basis of changing psychology consistently prove this principle to be absolute. When you change the motion of a person's body, you change their emotion. Think of it this way. Emotion is created by motion. Therefore, movement, dynamic movement, becomes extremely important. The more you limit a person's motion, the more you limit their emotion. Now, we can see this in different cultures in the world. A lot of my friends from Great Britain, from England, have been taught most of their lives, brought up to not express their emotion. And you can see they don't use their whole body or face. They have a limited expression. They literally pull back, you know, stiff upper lip as it's described. Because by not letting any motion happen in the face, and by the way, in your face, you have 80 different muscles there. By showing no motion there, you don't feel as much emotion, or you limit the amount you experience. But think about this. Absolute no motion, absolute rigidity is called death. When you're a little kid, you got all this motion. And you have lots of emotion, don't you? You're able to express it and feel it. And what we learn to do is we learn to limit the emotion, limit the emotion of people to be appropriate. But I'll tell you what, appropriate means that you fit into somebody else's box. And if you fit into somebody else's box, you're rarely going to do something extraordinary. You're rarely going to have an extraordinary life. So learning to move more and to move more effectively, to move better, is an important, critically important dynamic in learning to feel better and to enjoy more of your life. And all of this is a roundabout way to bring you to what this tape's going to be about in a moment, which is scheduling time to move. Let me tell you what I mean by this. Most people don't move anymore, right? Most people, if I say to you, write down all the emotions you experience in an average week, the emotions you consistently experience, people from 75 nations will do this with me. And you know what you find? People have basically about 6 to 12 emotions max that they consistently experience, not that they'll ever experience. They get worried about something. They get a little frustrated. They get angry, and then they get a little more frustrated. And then, you know, they get happy for a moment, and then they feel a little love, and they get a little excited, and then a little calm, and then frustrated again. And they just keep recycling these same emotions. You know why? They keep using their body the same way. They've conditioned themselves to use the same facial expressions, same movements. In fact, a friend of mine taught me, he said, you know what? Most people, you know, he described it. He's a man who works with people's physical bodies. And he said, you know, people today get injured all the time, not by being injured in a football accident. They're bending over to pick up a pen. you know, and they're 35 years old, and oh, something goes out, or oh, my knee, or oh, this, or oh, that. And he said, you know, the reason is nobody moves anymore. He said, you know, we live in a box. Here's what most people do. They wake up in the morning, and they jump in their box car, and they drive to their box office. Well, they sit in front of a box and type. They talk on a box phone. They usually have a box lunch. They drive home in their box. They sit in front of a television box, and sometimes they grab a cylinder just for some variety to change their state. Right? I mean, come on, we got to break out of our box. And the way to break out of your box is create some dynamic movement, but you can't do it once in a while. It's got to be deliberate. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about in a moment. I keep saying I'm going to talk to you about something. Eventually, I'm actually going to teach you what this is about. You know why I'm taking so long? Because it's so simple. You're going to go, that's the whole thing. So I got to rant and rave and give you a great sense of value before I give you the simple principle. Right? But it's true because it's so simple. You're going to go, oh, yeah. But it works. So we'll be there soon. Hang in there. Now, I said there were two things that affected your psychology. Number one is the way you use your physiology, the way you move, the way you breathe, the way you gesture. All those things affect you. When you're stressed, have you ever snapped at somebody, had nothing to do with them, was just the state you're in? Or better yet, have you ever been perfect and someone snapped at you for no good reason just because they were in a stressed physiology? Of course they have. So learning to master your body is everything. And that's what this first tape is going to be about. And it's going to be in a different way than you think. It's not going to be about telling you this is the way to lift weights. It's not going to be saying this is the way to run. It's going to be about scheduling a daily time in which you move and you release the stress from your life and you focus upon what you want most so that every day you're moving closer towards it. So that you're creating in your mind what you want to create in your life. Because that's where it begins, as I've already said. So I said there were two things that created an extraordinary psychology. One was a dynamic physiology, movement, energy. The second thing that creates an extraordinary psychology, which creates an extraordinary life, is what you focus on and how you focus. Now, this is pretty obvious, but for some reason, we don't do this. See, in any moment in time, you can be upset about anything because what's wrong is always available. I mean, you know, if there's nothing wrong with you, if you got kids, there's something wrong there. I promise you, just look. Or there's something wrong with your spouse, or something wrong with your boss, or there's something wrong with the world, there's something wrong in Africa, there's something wrong somewhere. What's wrong is always available, and so is what's right. If you don't consciously decide what you're going to focus on every day and make it a priority, then weeds grow automatically. You don't have to plant weeds. They're automatic. You don't have to worry about gravity. Something's going to pull you down unless you use your will to stand up and move. You go, well, it's just natural to be down all the time. Well, then it's natural to lie on the ground, right? But how we have an extraordinary life is we resist the natural forces. I remember years ago when I met Norman Vincent Peale. He was amazing. He was 92 years old, and he was doing a seminar. And I was 32 at the time. And I thought, gosh, only 60 more years of this. And so I said to him, I said, Norman, what are you doing still going out here doing seminars at 92 years old? And he was so cute. He turned to me and he said, Tony, there's still a few negative people out there. I started laughing. I said, you're the best. And I said, tell me, what's the most important thing you want people to understand when you're talking? He said that problems are a sign of life. And he's the person I got that from. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, everybody's talking about how they don't want any problems. He said, but the only people without problems are people that live in cemeteries. And I said, I heard that somewhere. He said, well, yeah, I said that in 1936. I said, my God, he's been around a while. But the reason I tell the story about him is the idea of resistance. He said to me, you know, when he first met Gene Tunney, who was the heavyweight boxing champion of the world back then, he said, I went up to Gene and I said, Gene, how do you get muscles like that? And Gene looked at me and said, do you really want to know or are you just asking? And Norman said, actually, I was just asking. But he said, I didn't say that to him. I said, yeah, I want to know. And he said, Gene looked at me. He got really intense, put this grimace on his face. He made his bicep really huge and showed me the size. And he said, you know how I get this? Every day, I push against enormous amounts of resistance. And my pushing against that resistance sculpts these muscles. They expand by demand. I thought, wow, expand by demand. That's pretty cool. And Norman looked at me and he said, you know, I thought about that for a long time. He said, you know what I realized? He said, I realized that God gives us problems because problems are the resistance that we have to push against to sculpt our character, to sculpt our souls. And he said, if we didn't have any problems, we don't have a life. And I thought, you know, he's right. The only thing I want is a better quality of problem. You know, in the beginning, I had the problems like, oh, how do I eat? You know, how do I take care of myself? Then in my business, how do I get someone to show up? Then it was like, oh my God, we can't get a big enough stadium. These are quality problems. I have to remind my team of that. But the reason I tell you that is whether it's a problem or whether it's an opportunity, it comes down to focus. If you're in a lousy state, everything's a problem. When you're feeling strong, when you're in that place, when you feel alive, then all of a sudden what used to be a problem is like, ah, we can handle it. But if you don't do something every day to get yourself in that state first, and you first get hit with stuff, I promise you, you're not going to deal with it the same way. Does that make sense? So we're going to create a ritual that get you in a peak physiology. And then also, when I say focus, I mean, think about it. If you don't direct that focus, as I've said, you're going to get what shows up. You have to consciously say each day, this is what's most important. You have to create a ritual that makes you focus on what you want instead of what you fear. Most people, when you ask them, what do you want? You know what they tell you? What they don't want. And whatever you focus on, you move towards. It's like if you're driving a car and, you know, you're focused on not hitting the wall, you find yourself moving right towards that wall. Whatever you focus on, you move towards. So the purpose of this tape, now I finally get it to you, is this. We want to create an hour of power for you. We want to take the thing that's missing from your life, connection with yourself, and not just acknowledge that it's missing and not just feel bad about it or say we're going to do something about it or we should change it. We are going to today, if you're willing to, make a real decision. Now, what's a real decision? Well, I'm not talking about stating a preference or saying I'm going to try something. We live in a try culture, don't we? Well, you know, I'll try it a little while and see what happens. You know, I'll try to make it happen. You don't try anything. I mean, you remember the old Star Wars thing with Yoda? And there's Luke, you know, going, oh, I tried to lift thing up. And he said, it's too big. It's too this. It's too that. He had all these stories about why he couldn't do it. And Yoda looks at him. He said, you think size matters? Do you think it matters to me? You know, and what did Yoda do? He created in his mind what he wanted to have on the outside world. He said, there is no try. There's do or not do. And that's true in our lives as well. So we've got to decide today if you're going to make a real decision. A real decision, the word decision in Latin comes from to decide. And to decide in Latin means to cut off from. It's like incision. You cut off anything except what you've committed to. And the decision that you're going to want to make today, hopefully, and I only say hopefully because I can't do it for you. I can tease you, cajole you, remind you of what you know is the truth. But only you have the power to change your life today. And by the way, the power to change your life always comes down to a decision. Nothing else changes your life. You don't like your job? Change it. How? Decide. Cut off anything else but that and say, this is what I'm going to do. You don't like your relationship? Change it. Change yourself. Change the way you interact. Change what you say. Change your reactiveness. Or change who you're in a relationship with, but don't sit around and complain about it. Decide. A real decision, when you cut off any of the possibility, is always followed by immediate what? Action. That's how you know it's a real decision. So today, we want to make a real decision, and the decision is that you're going to take 1 hour in the morning for you, and it's going to be the first hour. Because my guess is, if you're listening to this tape, and you're still listening to me rant and rave, you're a pretty special soul. You're the kind of person that wants more, and you're willing to do more, and by the nature of that kind of person is almost always a giver. Now, we want to achieve, we want to do, but for what? We want to share it. We want to share the special experiences of life with the people that we love, the people we are able to contribute to. So by our nature, we end up to be the last thing on the list. So what I'm really talking about is giving yourself a gift, the gift of your time, your hour of power, where you're going to focus on what you're really grateful for, where you're going to focus on what you really want to achieve and what you want to experience and what you want to feel in your life, a time for you to release the natural stresses that show up with living life and the level that most of us live it, where you're pushing to achieve and create and share and support your children or your friends or your family or whatever else it is you do, a time in the day when you're going to connect with yourself. And you got to start with a connection with yourself or you can never fully connect with anybody else. Now, I know that for some of you say, well, I can't do that first hour. I mean, I got to take the kids to school. I got to do that. I know, but you could give up an hour the night before and go to bed earlier and get up early when the sun is just rising or before. You give up that playing on the internet. You give up responding to all the inane emails that mean nothing to your life, but you feel like you got to respond to. You could do so many things. You could carpool on certain days and make sure that at least 5 of these days out of the 7, you have time for you. But this has got to become a must, not a should, because as I said before, if it's a should, you and I know you'll do it for a little while and things will show up. It's got to be as important to you as an appointment would be with your boss. Or if you're the boss, an appointment would be with people that are helping you to raise the financing. I don't know what the right metaphor is for you, but I mean an appointment you wouldn't break because it's too important and you would insult that person. And what this is really about is giving yourself love. Because when we say what's really missing for most of us is loving ourselves. And a lot of people know that. And a lot of people use that as an excuse not to do things. Well, I just can't love myself. You don't need a story about it. Here's just the truth. We live in a culture that doesn't teach us how to care for ourselves. We live in a culture that always says that if you take care of yourself, at some level, maybe you're a little selfish. But the truth is, if you read most of the religious documents in the world, regardless of your religious beliefs, most of them have something like the good book has, right? The Bible, where it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. which presupposes that you love yourself. And I hear people all the time, they say, but you know, I don't know what it is. I don't need self-esteem. I just don't love myself. Well, let me explain to you why this happens. First of all, self-esteem does not come from people telling you you're great or telling you you're terrible. Esteem for yourself comes from making yourself do difficult things. By the way, exercise, pushing your physical body requires you to use your will. And the more you use your will, the easier it gets, the stronger it gets. And I'll tell you something, when you can get yourself to do something that's difficult, you start having pride, not ego. There's a difference between ego and pride. Ego is when you really aren't doing anything and you're giving yourself credit. Ego is when EGO, you're edging God out, right? You're thinking it's all you and you really haven't done anything. Pride is when you and God have worked together to do something extraordinary. When you've taken the resources your creator has given you, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, and you've done something with the gift that God has given you, then guess what? You have pride that you deserve. You have esteem for yourself. But just like any muscle, you make a demand. If you make a demand, it expands, right? That's true of emotional muscles. The more you use your passion, the stronger it gets. The more you use your love, the stronger it gets. The more you face your fear with some courage, the more courageous you become. Even if things don't work out, that muscle gets stronger. Fear, though, that is overused gets stronger too, doesn't it? And emotions you don't use. Faith unused doesn't get stronger, it wanes. Now, what has this got to do with your hour of power? This is a time for you to cultivate the most important emotions of your life, the emotions that'll give you an extraordinary life. This is a time for you to cultivate gratitude. This is a time for you to cultivate a sense of excitement about your life and your future. This is a time for you to cultivate compassion for the people who may not right now seem to be really supporting you in your mission at work. You know, those people that are your worthy opponents.
This session continues on the next CD.
See, my belief in life is that everybody's life's got a story. And as soon as you set out that goal or that plan, an opponent shows up. Because if you didn't have an opponent, you wouldn't grow. You wouldn't have anything to resist. You wouldn't have anything to push against. You wouldn't have a way to really expand your emotional, psychological, and spiritual muscles. And you know what? If you look at stories, whether it be a movie or a book, any form of literature, when you see a story, the hero is defined by the size of their opponent. If that opponent is unbelievably powerful and brilliant, then the hero has to get really powerful and smart and intelligent and compassionate, heroic. But if you got some wimpy opponent, it's like playing tennis against somebody you're 100 times better than. You're not even interested in the game. You don't get any better. You don't get any stronger. Your life is no better. You might as well not have gone out there. It's a waste of your time. So maybe it's time during your hour of power to give thanks to your worthy opponents. Ah, thank you. Thank you for constantly trying to harass me and keep me from achieving what I want. It's great because I'm going to develop muscle. Because, you know, in the end, what you get's not going to make you happy anyway. Who you become as a man or as a woman is what you get to keep. What you get, that stuff goes away anyway. But who you become, that's what you live with. That's what gives you joy or that's what gives you sorrow. So this is a time to cultivate these emotions. This is a time to develop that kind of emotional muscle. And you say, okay, now what are the mechanics of it? Well, the mechanics are the simplest thing. That's why I've ranted for so long because, you know, most of the things in life that we need to do, we know we need to do them. They're not that complex. We just don't do them. It's the fundamentals in life. We all want to hear the new sexy fun thing to do that will just change it all instantaneously without any effort. But the truth of the matter, success and failure happens in the little things, doesn't it? I mean, success is not one overnight thing that just happened. It's going out each day and taking care of your body. Success is cultivating the emotion of joy. Success is saying I love you. Success is writing that little card and saying thank you when you didn't have to. It's all those little successes that one day batch together to give you this big thing called success. And by the way, failure is not one big cataclysmic event. It's failure to take care of your body. People don't just have a heart attack overnight. They got to build that stuff over years. Your relationship doesn't end overnight. You had to whittle that away by not being honest with each other, by not communicating, by not even figuring out in the beginning who this person was you were getting a relationship with, and you woke up one day and say, what happened? Right? These things don't happen overnight. They're the little fundamentals, and the greatest, most successful people in the world, whether it be the Michael Jordans of the world or the Wayne Gretzky's, I don't care who it is, they practice the fundamentals. The Larry Birds, who are out there an hour before anybody else when he was on that basketball court, his whole career. If you ever went to a game, you could get in the building an hour before. There he was, bouncing the ball on every single spot on the floor for an hour because he wanted to feel that floor and know every inch of it. I mean, these are people that practice the fundamentals. You watch Michael Jordan, I got to be there at that last shot, for the last moment of his career, and it looked so picture perfect. He stole the ball, remember? And it looked like he was posing almost. And I got to ask Michael about it personally afterwards. He said, I wasn't posing, I was exhausted. He said, I was going right back to that final stage, just going one, two, three, going right back to the fundamentals he did in high school. So I'm here to just be a good coach to you. What a good coach does, they're not any better than you are, but what they do know is what you're doing and what you're not doing, and they can remind you and then get you to do it. Ultimately, they can't do it for you, but they can bring your focus back to where it needs to be. If you did nothing else in this entire tape program, but you made a decision right now to say, 1 hour a day, the first hour of the day is my hour of power, and here's what I'm going to do. Here are the mechanics. They're simple. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to immediately start moving. Put my shoes and socks on. Put on my jacket. If it's snowing outside, if it's raining outside, whatever it is. Or go on the, if you want to stay indoors, go on the treadmill, and I'm going to walk. And during that time of walking, maybe I'll grab my Walkman and I'll have some music without any lyrics, so you just hear the music. Or you might want to listen to your favorite song and get yourself cranked up and then turn the music off and then begin to think of what you're grateful for. That's my first thing I'm going to do in the morning is be grateful. And I'll tell you why. You know, I met Sir John Templeton years ago and I said, you know, Sir John Templeton is one of the greatest investors of all time. He's a multi-billionaire. He's in his 80s now. I have a real role model. And I said to him, I said, tell me, Sir John, I said, what is the secret to wealth? He said, Tony, you know, you teach it. Gratitude. He said, how many people you know who seem to have everything and they're so unhappy? And then you see somebody who seems to have nothing, but they're so grateful and they're rich. He said, gratitude is everything. But you know what the problem is? We all know this, but we don't do it because we haven't created a time, a ritual that makes us do it every day. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, how many books have you read? How many tapes have you listened to? How many times you realize, of course, I need to get back to my gratitude, or of course, I need to increase my passion, of course, but you don't have a place to do it every day. See, the people succeed do this stuff every day. And I'll tell you the secret. If you talk about stuff, it's a dream. It's never going to happen. Talk is cheap. If you start to envision it, you start to visualize it, you start to get excited, and that excitement can start moving you towards it. When you start planning it, it's possible, but when you schedule it, it's real. Schedule means it is there. That's what you do at that hour of the day, no matter what, every day. And if you put your focus on this every day, put your focus on yourself, you can't believe what'll happen. In fact, what I started to tell you is about love. And I left that out. Let me come back to that. I started to tell you about loving yourself. I said two things. We said you have more self-esteem by pushing yourself, but also loving yourself. People say they don't love themselves. You know why? They don't do for themselves things that they would do for people they love. Hey, listen. If you and I are in a relationship, or if you have a relationship with somebody and you want them to know you love them, what do you do? What do you do to let them know you love them? What are some of the things you do? Well, some people say, well, I spend time with them. Interesting. And if you don't spend time with them, do they feel loved by you? I mean, even if you really do love them. I mean, I found myself, I have so much going on in my life. Some people I really love and adore and I haven't spent time with them and I know they don't feel loved. And that's not true, but that's what they feel. So if you don't spend time with yourself, how can you ever feel loved by yourself? I mean, you just can't. And what else would you do? You say, well, I do things for that person. You know, I try to do little things, or I try to do big things, or I try to surprise them. When's the last time you did that for yourself? You know? So you say, well, I'd give them a hug. When's the last time you've done something for yourself physical? When's the last time you've been gentle with yourself? When's the last time you've rewarded yourself? And by the way, time for yourself, where you cultivate what matters most, there is nothing more important. Nothing. Because if you make everyone else in the world happy and inside you're not connected to yourself, you will feel so empty that none of it will be worthwhile. And you've seen so many people in life. We all have famous people and those not famous who seem to have everything, right? They had the money, the riches, everybody loved them. They were rich and famous, entertainers, singers, actors, and then they kill themselves because they made everybody happy but themselves because they didn't really connect to themselves. They used distraction. They used alcohol. They used cigarettes. They used cocaine. They used, you know, something, television, the internet, their business, anything to distract from the fact that they're running around achieving things that don't really matter to them. Or maybe they matter, but they're not taking the time to enjoy it. So it doesn't feel like it matters. You know, so often like things go by and your week or your day is a blur because you haven't stopped to say, what were the magic moments in this day? So the steps you're going to go through is first you're going to think about everything you're grateful for. And what I do is while I'm doing this, sometimes I do this first in the shower. So I like to get up sometimes, wake up that way. Sometimes I just go. But as I'm doing that, I actually physically, as I'm walking, I picture, and I use a spiral. I think of the people in my life. I start with what I'm grateful for as the people. And I look at my children, and I look at my wife and my friends, and then I move out to my close friends and business associates are considered to be my extended family. And I go further out to people that I meet on the street, and I just think of them and give so much gratitude to God for having me have the gift of these people in my life. And then I think about my own inner gifts, my physical body that is healthy and vital, and I see it. You know, I've talked to so many people, you know, they hate their body. Well, if you hate your body, how can you love yourself? If you hate your body, how could you ever be happy? This is the vehicle. You know, this is the temple. So I think about my body and give thanks for the workings of my muscles and of my facial expressions that I use and exaggerate and my insane voice and all the stuff that I do in my mind that is so stimulated. And part of being grateful is not just capturing your body and your family. It's capturing the moments you can be grateful for. I call them magic moments. Because my belief is at the end of your life, you're not going to remember your whole life. You're going to remember moments, aren't you? Sometimes those moments are really unique, and sometimes they were just a great smile, a great laugh, you know, a great time you spent watching a sunset, a conversation that you had. And one of the things that I think most people fail to do is they're only noticing the big things in life, and they're missing the little things that are really the big things. So stop and think, what are some of the magic moments of your day? What were some of the magic moments of yesterday, of this week? What was something, a time you laughed? What was a time in which you shared a thought with somebody? When was a time that you were inspired? What was something that was really great that happened? So I give gratitude and I give thanks for all of that. Because see, most people's prayers, most people have a prayer. You know when their prayer is? When they're in trouble. God, dear God, if you'll just help me this time, I promise, I really promise, never again, I promise. Just get me through this hangover. You know, it's like, or dear God, if you just kick the butt of the other football team, you and I will be together forever. Like God's going to pick which team's going to win a sporting event. I mean, come on. Maybe the greatest prayer of all is thank you. Maybe gratitude. Maybe real sincere gratitude that gets you connected to your soul. Maybe remembering those feelings. Maybe getting back where you have that little flutter in your throat. Like I'm feeling right now telling you this because I feel so grateful for my life. I'm so grateful I get to talk to you right now. And that you're still listening, you know? Because I know that in a moment, your entire life can change. On a dime, every one of us in our lives, we have these turning points, these pivot points, where if you just make a slight change, everything changes. Everything. And it's always a change in emotion. Because it's from our emotions that all our decisions are made and all our actions are taken. And from all of our actions is where the results of our life come from. And you got a chance. You got a chance, no matter how great your life is, to take it to another level today, now, in the magic of this moment. Because what you can do is not just make a decision right now. You can make a decision that'll give back to you for the rest of your life if you make it a must. So gratitude for those you love, gratitude for your health, gratitude for the abundance of your life, gratitude for what you envision is going to happen. It has immense power. And gratitude for your problems. Remember, they're a sign of life. You're never going to get rid of them. The only thing you're going to do is get a better quality of problem. Because when you learn to handle these challenges, as soon as you solve them, a new set will show up. But there'll be bigger challenges, bigger resistance, a bigger opponent. But if you see that that's part of the gift of life and you're grateful for it, then all of a sudden when everybody else is in anger and resentment and upset, you'll be in joy. Because you know, you won't be like everybody else who's trying to solve all the problems and never have any. Because you'll know, no. That's like saying I want to go to the gym and have no weights. You know, it's like you look at those gleaming weights and you go, yeah, baby, let's do it. That doesn't mean you have to live every second in problems, but if you're in a state of gratitude, you won't be living in the problem. You'll be living in the opportunity. You're doing this, by the way. This gratitude can take you 1 minute to 10 minutes. Depends on how deep you want to go. And I'll tell you the secret. You want to be moving while you're doing this. Because remember, emotion comes from motion. You'll find a rhythm that feels really good. The second thing I do is I do a breathing pattern. And that breathing pattern is to stimulate my body while I'm walking there. And the pattern is really simple. It's 1-4-2. And what that means is if you were going to inhale, for example, for 10 while you're walking, so it's, then you'd hold for 40 while you're walking. And then you exhale for 20. Now, the reason you exhale twice as much as you inhale is you're expelling waste products from your system. That's one of the ways your body gets rid of things when you exhale. You're holding in there so you get fully oxygenated. And I'll do this for 10 of these. And what this also does is it stimulates your immune system. You know, people talk all the time about all the drugs they want to do, but the truth of the matter is nothing. Lymphologists, whose whole expertise is the lymph system, your immune system, have found by putting cameras inside the bodies of individuals that nothing you can do can stimulate the immune system as much as a deep diaphragmic breath. Because as you take that deep breath in, it's like a vacuum that sucks the lymph in your body, which is the sewage system, through the thoracic duct and causes you to stimulate the lymph system to cleanse about 10 to 15 times more rapidly than anything else you can do. So you do 10 of these. So what have we done so far? We've been grateful and we've stimulated our body to be as healthy as it could possibly be. Now what's the third thing we do? Now we focus on what we want. You see, one of the things that we got to realize is that your brain, when you're in an emotional state, has the ability to amplify your thoughts. It has the ability to stimulate things to happen. And when you know what you want, your brain starts to find ways to make it happen unconsciously. It's like, did you ever buy a certain outfit or you ever buy a certain, you know, kind of car and suddenly you saw that outfit or car everywhere? Well, the outfit or car was always around you. But suddenly now it's important to your brain, and the part of your brain that pays attention is called the reticular activating system. It's a big word, but the RAS, reticular activating system, teaches your brain what to notice. Well, you don't notice most of what's going on. So what you want to do is train your RAS, train your brain about what's most important so that anything that relates to it, it'll start to pick up. It'll sensitize you to it. It'll move you towards it. It's almost like magic. I'm sure there have been times in your life you wanted something so much and you focused on it every day and you put so much emotion into it. And then all of a sudden, like, you met somebody or an opportunity happened. Things just seem to occur if you focus consistently on what you want instead of what you don't want. Because if you focus on what you don't want, guess what? You get a lot more of that too, as I've already said. So now you focus and you take 3 or 4 minutes and you just focus on, you imagine the most important things you want in your life to happen. What do you want for your body? What do you want for your relationships? What do you want for your finances? What do you want for your career? What do you want for your life spiritually, your connection with God? And you picture that or imagine that, and you imagine it's already done. You do it in a state of certainty. Now, if you're walking, you want to be walking nice and strong as in this warm-up, whether it be on a treadmill or anywhere else. And again, you can do this for 2 to 10 minutes. Your warm-up should be 10 to 15 minutes of walking, just moving, even if you're a top athlete. Because as you're doing this, as you're warming up like this, your body is starting to cleanse, it's releasing, and you're starting to get the body to start to turn up its furnaces. It's starting to prepare. You've just woken up. And one of the main reasons we're doing this, besides changing your psychology, is that you want to do this first thing in the morning because you want to get your metabolism started. You want to turn your mind and body on in the morning and have those furnaces going. Because you know what will happen? 2 things. You're going to release all the stress out of your body that accumulates. And secondly, you're going to put yourself in the strongest state you can be in. So you're going to feel fabulous. You're going to stimulate endorphins in your body. They're going to make you feel phenomenal. So now you're going to respond to people that day very differently. And you're going to turn your metabolism on first thing in the morning so you can increase your metabolism instead of going on a diet where you lower your metabolism. And as soon as you eat, you get fat again, even faster because your body's more efficient. Now your metabolism is stronger. That's one of the reasons we're going to do this as well. Am I making sense on this? So it's gratitude. Then it's getting yourself in a position where you stimulate your lymph system, you get your body in physically great shape, then you focus and you imagine, you get excited as if you are already celebrating the successes you want in your life, your programming. So now what do? You exercise. You go, all sounding pretty good till you mention the exercise thing. Wait a second here. Walking and breathing, I can handle that. Being grateful, I can exercise. Yes, to the point of sweat. That's right, sweat. Because when you sweat, you are going to stimulate the release of those acids out of your system. When you push yourself on a 0 to 10 scale to at least level 7, minimum level 7, so you're not killing yourself, but you're not dogging it. So what happens out of this is will. Now, when you start out, you may be out of shape. Some people are out of shape that they can only walk, but the exercise is for 30 minutes. Now, let's say if the exercise you're going to do is a light jog. Remember, the secret is you got to exercise to the point where you're at least at a 7. I don't need you to 10 because you're going to burn yourself out and you're going to become very acidic. And that's not the goal of exercise. But where you're pushing yourself good, where you got a nice aerobic movement to you, where, you know, you're not so burdened that you can't keep going at a pace you could go for a long time. But while you're doing this light jog, now here's the secret. And again, you may be lifting weights on the days, but the days when you're walking or jogging or even running, you want to begin to do what I call an incantation. Now, what's an incantation? An incantation is you're going to develop a phrase you say again and again and again out loud as you run. You go, all right, Robbins, exercise is bad enough. Now I'm supposed to look like a crazy guy talking to himself? Listen, everybody's got these cell phones now. You notice they got this thing in their ear and they got a little microphone next to their mouth. You don't even notice it. They're not holding their cell phone. They look like they're talking to themselves. It's a natural thing these days. Don't worry about it. Technology makes it natural to talk to yourself. Now, here's what I'm saying. It's one thing to visualize. It's another thing to feel grateful. But there's an incredible power in the spoken words said with absolute authority and intensity. It programs your mind. See, a lot of people think their beliefs control their life, and beliefs have a very powerful effect. But what's more powerful than belief is an incantation, which is a word spoken aloud, a phrase spoken aloud with total intensity and repetition. People have different beliefs in their head. They have beliefs like, look before you leap. They also have beliefs like, he who hesitates is lost. So which one do you live by? By whichever one is being engaged in your body in that moment. So when you say something again and again, you engage your nervous system. Most of what I've achieved in my life, I've achieved because I have conditioned myself. Now, when I go, for example, on a run, or even before I get up to speak, I have this incantation that I'll do. For one of them, for example, before I get up to speak in an audience, I've done since I began speaking 23 years ago. And I say, I now command my subconscious mind to direct me in helping as many people as possible today by giving me the strength, the emotion, the persuasion, the humor, the brevity, whatever it takes to show these people and get these people to change their life now. And I used to do that literally hundreds of times. I'd be driving the small group of people I was going to speak to for 45 minutes, and I'd be in my car saying this at the top of my lungs. Now you say, well, you're a maniac. No, what happened is by saying this again and again, people be driving by staring at me, I'd wave and keep doing it. Because when I got there, I was so committed, so certain. I felt so led to get in that room and help people that no one was not going to feel what I felt. And so I still do it to this day. I wanted to change my finances, so I came up with an incantation. I said over and over again, I said, God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. And I would picture avalanches of great things, all the people I love in my life, my friendships, you know, the situations that I've been able to master, the skill sets I have, money, business, success, coming to me in avalanches of it. So I'd say, God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I'm one with God and God is everything. Amen. And I would do that hundreds of times. But here's the secret. I was using my body when I did it. This is not affirmations. Affirmations, you go, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. And your brain goes, BS, you're not happy. I made my body, I yell it out loud, and I use my whole body, adding this emotional intensity that sends the message directly into your brain that you mean it. Now, of all things I've talked about, this will be the one that most people won't do. And it's the most powerful things I've just talked to you about. If you can get yourself to do it, and they might say, well, I don't have all these things memorized. I didn't either. You can do something simple. When I go running, I'll just do like a simple old phrase like, every day in every way, I'm getting stronger and stronger. I'm doing this as I'm running. Every day in every way, I'm getting stronger and stronger. Every day in every way, I'm getting stronger and stronger. And I'll do that for like 2 or 3 minutes. And I'll go, every day in every way, I'm feeling more and more happy. And I say this literally out loud. And then I'll change to, I'm feeling more and more healthy. But by getting that rhythm in my body, you'll find something happens. You'll love exercising because instead of being focused on the exercise, you're going to feel emotionally worked out. You're going to feel pumped. You're going to feel strong. It's like, have you ever made the fatal mistake of going to Disneyland and entering It's a Small World After All? Because if you do, and you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. You hear that song in your head for about the next 6 months. Well, wouldn't it be nice to program your mind, not with all the garbage that's out in the world, but with the things that give you certainty about the joy and passion of your life? If you will exercise with incantations and just do them for 5 to 10 minutes of your 30 minutes, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll get addicted. You'll do it for 20 of the 30, or you'll do it for all 30. Maybe you'll do it for 20 and you'll stop for a little while. You can just emphasize a different word. You can say, every day and every way I'm feeling. Whatever it takes to create variety, but the rhythm is hypnotic, and it gives you a sense of certainty. I have never known anyone who did incantations, not affirmations. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. I mean, where you're engaging your body and speaking aloud while you're doing it with total intensity. I've never known anyone not to see a total transformation in the quality of their life. So you say, well, Tony, you've made this really complex. I got to remember, I got to be grateful, and I got to breathe, and I got to think of what I want, and on top of that, I got to say good things while I'm exercising. I don't know. I don't know if I want the edge that bad. I mean, come on. This is not complex. Now, I'll tell you, maybe for you in the beginning, maybe you're not going to exercise every day. So maybe what it becomes is your 30 minutes of thankfulness, because everybody's got 30 minutes, okay? So maybe 3 days a week or 4 days a week, you add the exercises to it. But on the other days, all you do is you do your walking. And while you're walking, what do? You think about your gratitude. You think about all things you're grateful for, your magic moments. You do your breathing pattern. What do? You think about and you focus on what you want to achieve and experience and own and share and create in your life. And you pretend it's already happened. You celebrate like it's there. You can do that process. You do your incantations as you walk every day in every way. I'm feeling stronger and stronger every day in every way. I'm feeling happier and happier, whatever it is for you that you say again and again and again, and you do it for 30 minutes. Now, if you say, I don't have 30 minutes, everyone's got 15 minutes for fulfillment. Come on. So the hour of power is the goal. 30 minutes is the minimum ideal, which is 30 minutes for thankfulness, right? Where you lock in all that's going great in your life, all that you love, all that you want. You do your incantations. But in 15 minutes, you can lay the groundwork for fulfillment. So there's no excuse not to start your morning with this 15 minutes of fulfillment. What do? Get up and move. Get up and walk. And as you're walking, what are you going to do? First 2 or 3 minutes, think of everything in your life you're grateful for. Think of the magic moments of your life. Second, do your 10 deep breaths. You know the ratio, 1-4-2. So 10, 40, 20. Third, make sure you focus on what you really want for 3 or 4 minutes where you really imagine living it. And for the last 5 minutes minimum, while you're walking, do your incantations. Get it like a rhythm. Pretend you're in It's a Small World after all and you're programming the good thoughts. I'm telling you, this will change your life. Time for you. You deserve it. It's a must. There's not a single day where you shouldn't have those 30 minutes for thankfulness, but if you don't, you got 15 minutes for fulfillment. I know you got it. And it's the first 15 minutes of the day. Then if you want to exercise in the afternoon or the evening, great. Or if you want to make this whole thing a different time of the day, I'm cool with it. But it usually doesn't happen. Plus, you want to start your day moving, right? There's a physical reason for this also. But what's going to happen is people start out and they're like just walking. And the next thing you know, a few days later, they're jogging a little bit. And within a few months, they're running or they're lifting or they're whatever. Now, bear in mind, I'm giving you running as the example. You could be swimming. You could go and do your exercise of lifting weights at that point. I don't care what you do. You can do whatever you want. The ideal mixture, obviously, is to do some aerobic some days and some muscular work others. Building muscle is very, very important. The more muscle you have in your body, the higher metabolism is, and you'll burn fat even when you're sitting still. So you can't just go on aerobics forever. But my point is, you need 30 minutes of exercise. Because what this will also do is it'll give you pride in yourself. And by the way you end this exercise is the way you started. When you're done, you walk for 5 minutes or 10, whichever, however you're structuring this. And during the warm down, what do? Think of a few things you're grateful for. Think of some magic moments from yesterday, this week, or this month. And if on a daily basis you keep thinking about these moments, I'm telling you, you're going to have an amazing, extraordinary life. No matter what else happens, the juice is always there. What's great is always available. So as I recap, there are 5 steps to having this hour of power be extraordinary, to having this hour of power be a real gift for your life. Now, we've already said you're going to get up and you're going to start moving, because movement is energy. Movement is life. Movement is emotion. So in the first 10 minutes, what you're going to do is you're going to walk. And while you're walking, number one, you're going to get grateful, right? So remember, the first 10 minutes, get grateful. Think for a minute or two or three or four or five, all things you're grateful for. Step two is breathe. 10 deep breaths. 1-4-2. That's the ratio. 3, visualize and own what it is you want to have happen in the future. Imagine it's already been achieved. And step 4, exercise. At level 7 or slightly above on a 0 to 10 scale for at least 30 minutes. 40 would be ideal, but 30 is fine. And then while you're exercising, make sure you're doing incantations. Even if you just do something as simple as thank you, thank you, thank you. Anything. Every day in every way, Robbins is making me more crazy. I don't know. Whatever works for you, okay? By the way, if you tend to overeat, I'll give you a nice incantation. You could say, nothing tastes as good as thin feels, or nothing tastes as good as fit feels. If you'll say that for 15 minutes, it'll be in your head. And when you go to look at something, you'll be, nothing tastes as good as fit feels. Nothing tastes as good as strong feels. Whatever it is for you. And what will happen is those thoughts interrupt your patterns when you go to overeat or when you go to do something that really doesn't serve you. And then finally, step number 5, at the end of all this, celebrate and capture. Celebrate means notice that you've made progress. Acknowledge yourself. See, most people beat themselves up so often. Listen, if you got yourself out there and gave yourself an hour, that's something to acknowledge and say, you know what? This is awesome. I made this happen again today. Think about, I worked out. I got myself to run. What did you do unique today? What was special today? Celebrate it and capture it. Write down a couple of magic moments from yesterday. Write down something about, I worked out today for 10 minutes. Write a sentence or a paragraph so that later on you can capture this. Because one of the things I've done in my life that's been worth its weight in gold or platinum is that I've been in a position where a minimum of once a week, I recap what it is I've written down. And I'll say, okay, here are the 10 most important accomplishments. Here are the 10 magic moments of this week. And at the end of the month, I recap it. It only takes a few minutes. So I usually have anywhere from 40 to 60 magic moments, 40 to 60 achievements for the month. And otherwise, the month goes by so fast, you forget you're dealing with the next challenge. You forget all the great things that have happened. And then at the end of the year, in December, at the end of the year, right before the new year, I go back and I write down and summarize, and I now do it on my computer, all the best experiences I had. I've come up with my top 150 achievements and my top 150 magic moments for the year. And I got to tell you, I've been doing this for the last 4 years. I mean, I have the most extraordinary years you can imagine because I remember it and I feel it and I experience it. And you know what that does? Happiness breeds more happiness. Success breeds more success. I mean, it makes me feel so certain that I'm going to have such an amazing year that that sense of certainty by itself almost creates it. Does that make sense to you? So make sure you capture. It doesn't take but 2 minutes. So as you're walking back, you know, to your house or you're getting in your car, celebrate. Go, yes, I did it again. My hour with me is there. Really do it and write down a couple of sentences about what you achieved or magic that you created. Now, if you just did this, you threw away this tape program, and this is all you did for the rest of your life, is at least 5 days a week you did this. You got up in the mornings, first thing was for you, you didn't let anything else interrupt it, no phone calls, nothing. In the beginning, I'll tell you what's gonna happen. You're gonna, I can't do it. There's gonna be all these stories, all this resistance, and all these reasons, all of them legitimate why you can't do this. But once you start doing it, you'll get momentum. And pretty soon, it'll be the thing you look forward to. You'll be going to bed looking forward to your hour of power in the morning. You'll find yourself where the time will become sacred for you. And you know what? When you start giving to yourself, there's so much more of you to give to other people. There's more to give to your children. There's more to give to your family. There's more to give to your friends. The problem is, you probably are promising yourself to do this, but somebody will say, well, I'll do this at the end of the day. No, you won't do it at the end of the day because you'll be exhausted. You'll be tired. There'll be all the stimulation and time and energy, and you're going to want to escape because you built up stress all day. It's get rid of the stress before you start. It's build up the power of who you are before you begin. It's bring the best of you to the table, not recover from it at the end of the day. All that is a recipe for depletion. Now, if you say, but I am totally a night person, it's the only way I can do it, I'm respectful of that, but then you don't get the benefit of metabolism either. And by the way, here's a reason to get yourself to do this for the 10 days, for a month. Here's a reason to do it for 6 months. Do you know that recent research shows that if you'll get yourself to exercise for 6 consecutive months, you will exercise for the rest of your life? The study shows that what happens is it gets so tied into your nervous system, becomes so conditioned, and because you become so rewarded with that kind of ongoing exercise, the endorphins in your body are always being stimulated and you're addicted to that good feeling and you link it to exercise. But if you do it for less than 6 months, you're always starting over. So it doesn't mean that you won't get off track, that you might not exercise for a while, but your nervous system literally has a positive addiction and it'll pull you back to it. So whether you do this for 10 days, start with that, then you'll want to grow to 30, then you may want to grow the thing to 6 months, and then you don't have to grow it to anything. It'll be your life. It'll be your identity. Does that make sense? Let's get you started right away. And don't just try to fit this in your schedule. Build your schedule around this. Put this in first, and everything else has to build off of it. And if you do that, if you put it there first, it'll happen. That's what scheduling really means. It doesn't mean like try to fit it in. It becomes the must for you. And when it becomes a must, you'll get the gift, and you deserve it. Now, I know this is incredibly simple, but what kind of advantage would you have over other people in life if every day you walk into work, you walk in to be with your children, you walk in to be with your spouse, and you are in a place where you are happy and proud because you know you've given time to yourself, you've been grateful, you've focused, you've given yourself the gift of your body, you've become stronger every single day. I mean, I'm telling you, it's basic, it's fundamental, and it's what works. You want to change your life forever? You can talk a good game, or you can schedule the time with yourself that guarantees it. Now, my guess is that you're sold. You're sold that this is something that needs to happen in your life at this point. So now we got to deal with the obstacles, right? It's like as soon as the plan comes up, challenges show up with it. So what I want you to do right now is first block your calendar. And I want you to turn this tape off and do that. Now, if you have a secretary, call them and say, I have an appointment with a very important person, a VIP. And I need you to block out these 5 days no matter what. If it's you, then sit down with yourself and say, I'm meeting with the most important person in my life. Because if I don't make me the most important person in my life, I sure as heck can't expect anybody else to see me as being important. And I can't blame anybody else for giving me extra work or time or my children having a need. This is not about blame. This is about me making this a must. And I want you to lock it in and do it. Again, you can do the 30 minutes of thankfulness or the 15 minutes of fulfillment every day. You got to do one of these three, though. Do it minimum 15 minutes, ideally 30. Absolute ideal is the hour. Get it done. Now, by the way, this is supposed to be a 7-day program, but I got a bit carried away. I mean, I got some stuff in here. I want to give it to you, and I didn't want to just give you some content. Some of these tapes are like workshops. Now, tomorrow will be an example of that, where I'm going to walk you through literally a series of questions that'll get you to get clear about what it is you really need to change, how to change it, and get you to actually do it. Because you got to remember, questions are the answer. When you ask the right questions, you'll get the answers you've been looking for. And also, the purpose of this program is not to give you more knowledge. It's to get you to take action. The edge in life comes from those who do, not those who talk. So I want to make sure that you follow through and do these things. So I don't want you to get locked in and say, oh my gosh, it's supposed to be a 7-day program. And oh my God, today I have to do 90 minutes worth of tapes because there's 2 CDs on this one. Don't freak out on me. Don't get locked in. Right? Do whatever works for you. This can be a 10-day program for you very easily because I packed at least that much into this, truthfully. And don't worry, there's no extra charge. You got 50% more with no extra charge. It's okay. Seriously, do it in a way that works, but I try to do a minimum of a CD or a tape a day if you can. And then beyond that, do whatever works. If you get hooked into it, you know, these little workshops, these mini workshops are going to give you clarity because we're going to be dealing with the most important issues of your life, your relationships, your finances, your body, and your level of joy, happiness, and fulfillment, the amount of fun and passion in your life. These are the areas that matter to us most, so they deserve a little focus, don't you think? By the way, if you're a maniac, you can do these in 1 day of total immersion. I mean, some people are like that, you know, do it tape after tape after tape. I've had people do programs like this where literally they went on vacation and they did it day and night for 2 or 3 days and they did the program 2 or 3 times and got in their body in every cell. Whatever level you are, do it at that level. Don't make yourself wrong and most importantly, have fun with it. Now, before we leave this tape, I'll tell you one other thing. What makes people succeed is consistency. It's not what you do once in a while that makes you successful. As I said earlier, it's what you do consistently. And one of the things that I found in my life is, for example, if you want to be in great physical shape, the greatest gift you could give yourself is a trainer. You know, somebody that shows up and makes sure you do it. Now, you don't have to have one, but it's so valuable. Likewise, in life, for your emotional life, for your business, for anything else, coaching is the most valuable tool I have. I have for years worked with people that now pay me $1 million a year to coach them. And what I do is I literally help them to find exactly what they want, where they are now, establish the gap between the two, and then I help them develop a plan to implement it, and then I follow up with them to make sure it happens twice a month. I now have trained other people to do that. So if you'd like to get involved in coaching, you can use your coupon and you can get your initial month sessions right away. So call us if you'd like to get a personal coach. So you don't just have me on tape, but literally somebody who will help you describe exactly what you want, put the plan together, and work with you for 20, 30 minutes twice a month to make this happen. They'll help you deal with the challenges, make it all occur. It is the most valuable resource I have, and it's the thing that makes people absolutely succeed. Because as I said earlier, if you set a goal and you don't measure it again for 6 months, isn't going to happen. But if you measure it twice a month with somebody else who's the best at what they do, you know you're going to achieve it. Otherwise, remember what I've said here. It's time for you. It's time to make time for you. So tomorrow, I'll walk you through 7 steps of how to make sure this hour of power really shows up in your life and there's no escaping it. So you can complete for today and feel a great sense of accomplishment listening to this tape, make your decision and schedule it. And then tomorrow, join me for session 2, or if you're aggressive, reach for the next disc or tape and let's begin. But before I leave you, I have a very simple ritual. And that is every day to remind you that life is a gift and tomorrow is not promised to you. So make sure you live this day fully today. And the way you live it fully is you capture the juice out of the day. So make sure you remember that step I talked about of capturing the magic moments, looking for the little things in the day that are beautiful. Whether it be the sunset or the smile of a friend or a laugh that you shared or an article you read or a thought you had while you were walking or the feeling of your feet moving in motion and rhythm or maybe a piece of music you decided to play while you're exercising. I don't know what it is, but I know at the end of each day, And throughout the day, you want to look for your magic moments. You want to capture those. You want to say, oh my God, hold it. This is a magic moment. Just capture it. Because if you capture two or three of those a day, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I do not let a week go by without doing it. But if you do two or three times a day, you're going to have amazing days. Remember what I said? What's wrong is always available. But so is what's great. So is what's magical. So don't settle for less than that. It's around you. See, it's not a question of whether life is beautiful. It's a question of, are you noticing? Are you appreciating? Are you consciously developing the rituals that create lifelong joy, fulfillment, and success? So, my friend, I plead with you. Give yourself this gift. Cherish yourself more than anything else so that everything else will be able to be cherished by you. I mean, this is really one of the most important decisions of your life. And I hope my crazy, outrageous approach pushed you in the right direction and not pushed you away. I hope somehow I found my way into your heart or into your intellect or whatever part of you is going to be required to push the button that launches your life to the level it deserves to be. So this is the beginning of a brand new journey. And I'm really grateful that you've allowed me to be your coach in this process. I think we can make immense progress. So let's start taking real action. Let's not just talk a good game, you and I. Let's do it. Just get your butt out there. Because once you get out there, you'll get out there again. And once you get momentum, it'll take over. And the best of you will start showing up. And when the best of you shows up, you will appreciate this, and so will everyone else. So today, look for your magic moments. And that is how you can do what I talk about at the end of every tape. And I say at the end of this one, live with passion today and every day.